The scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Peter, the second chapter, and I'll be reading verses 20 through 22. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandments delivered to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire.
It's all yours. Thank you. What kind of thoughts did you have when he read these few verses? What did you think about? I know as I was sitting there to my right, it made me think all over again. Where or how is my spiritual state? And it's not a very pretty picture that he gives us here, is it? But it's something to think about. Many have asked me this morning about my ribs and my fall. I used to tell folks I think 38. I look 78, and I feel 98. And I tell folks that I hope God will allow me to live to 110, because that's how long Joseph lived, and I said, I want to feel how he did. Well, then I say, but I think I already know how he felt. Anyway, in regards to take just a few minutes, we had gone to Iris's two sisters and brother-in-law. They had invited us over to Cherokee, North Carolina, to eat homemade slaw and baked beans and hash and all this good stuff. And we ate that, and it was a rainy day. And so we went out walking around when it wasn't raining. And so it started raining again, and they were right near the bank of the river or creek. And so I thought, well, I'll go around this way. And my brother-in-law went around this way, this tree. So I held on to the tree. But then I saw where my hands were slipping on the bark of that tree. And I don't remember anything after that, except I woke up. My face was down in the sand between two rocks. And I tried to breathe, and I couldn't breathe. And I thought, oh, man, this is the way people feel when they die. They can't breathe. And so I just started telling myself to be calm. Nobody else was there to hear me. So anyway, I said, be calm, Jim Hunter. Just be calm. And I tried another breath, and it was just, that was it. But I said, oh, man, that felt so good. And then a little bit more. Well, then they started, this was funny, I think. After I got turned around and was trying to crawl up the rocks, and brother-in-law had me by my belt, and another brother-in-law had me out here pulling me over those rocks, and the women folks were saying, did anybody call 911? No, I didn't call 911. You think we ought to call 911? I don't know. Maybe we need to call 911. Maybe the people down in the store called 911. And I said, call 911. That's about all I could get out. And they got there about 5 minutes. And, oh, I tell you, everything they moved, everything that they moved me on that awful board. And that just made me feel that much worse. And so So anyway, they asked Iris where did she want them to take me, and she said to mission in Nashville. And so, okay, they put a helmet on me, and it had a knot up here or something. And I said, "You're hurting my head finally, you know, barely getting it out." And they said, "Oh, my head." And so they found some kind of something, and they're pressing on my head. And I said, "Mission," and said, "Well, do you want to go a helicopter or by land?" And I don't know what was said, but they called the helicopter, and they met us up on the parkway where there was a room enough for the rudders, they got me mostly. They got me into the helicopter, but my arm was hanging out, and he was trying to shut the door. And the helicopter guy, he's a flying away, and my arm is out here. And I said, and he's trying to shut that door, and I said, "My arm, you're hitting my arm. What'd you say, Mr. Hunter?" And I said, "My arm, it's hanging outside." And we were probably, you know, several 100 feet up in the air by now, and finally he took it and threw it over here. I don't know if that's what caused it, or the fall. I wouldn't want to say that he caused it, because he might lose his job. But my arm, the nerves are almost dead in my arms. A couple fingers I don't feel. I feel rings on fingers that didn't have rings, and then it hurt up this way. So anyway, that's the story of that. Now, the fall, when they got me to the hospital and they x-rayed, I had 16 broken ribs. And I said, 16 broken? Well, I'm thinking this, 16 broken ribs? I thought I only had 12. And so I looked on the internet, and sure enough, we have 24. I think 13 is on this side and 3 on this side. I'm doing fine. I was in the hospital 3 weeks. I had to show them I knew how to cook an egg and make toast by the occupational therapy. And then the other physical therapy, they wanted me to walk, and I wobble now when I walk or something. I'm supposed to have an MRI sometime next week or this week, but I wobble. Now, don't be looking at me when this is over to see how much I wobble. But I do, I fall on some people, and especially those who have open pocketbook. I really appreciate the prayers that all of you have given us and given me. Not only was I 3 weeks in the hospital, but then I was 5 weeks confined to the house in a lounge. They wouldn't let me up in the hospital unless I had a nurse to take me to the bathroom. And I got tired of that. It made me think like a school child. May I use the restroom? May I use the restroom? Anyway, when I got home, they said, "Now make sure that your wife helps you walk to the restroom." One time, that was enough. I just got up and wobbled in there. But anyway, thank you so very, very much. And there's some humor in a lot of things, and there's some humor in being hurt and nearly died or whatever. There's some humor in that, isn't there? Well, what I want to do this morning, I want us, and you may want to read along as I read these scriptures and talk about them a little bit. It's in the book of Hosea. Hosea, you may say Hosea or Hosea. But anyway, it's in the Old Testament, of course. And there's a lot of things in these verses that we're going to read that apply so much today. So in chapter 14, I tell you, let's back up a little bit to chapter 11. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. As they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. You know what this is? Can you imagine this, that they were worshiping Balaam and offering sacrifices or incense or whatever you want to call it to these graven images? I did a little bit of research on this, and I understand that these people had no problem of offering their virgin daughters when they turned 18. They'd throw them in the fire, or you'd lay them up on them, you know, the idol, and burn them. And the fathers, to show again how gross, how awful the situation of God, and think about now, these are God's people, and he called them his children, doesn't he, over and over again. And so the fathers of these families were demanding, as I understand, demanding their sons to marry their daughters. And it may have been a half-brother, half-sister, whatever, but nonetheless still marrying your brother or marrying your daughter. And so God is dealing with this. He's just saying, you know, you've fallen away, you backslid. And so, verse 3, I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid their food unto them. When I read these scriptures, taking them by the arms, and they took them by the arms with love. And the first thing that came to my mind, and maybe you do this, and hopefully you did this with your small children when they were small, take them by the hand and get them to watch both ways when they cross that road, taking them by the hand, or maybe just walking along, you know, someplace, wherever you may have gone. But by love, you took them by their hand, by their arm, so they would not be hurt. And so God is saying here through Hosea that I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. Look at verse 4. For I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. What I saw in this was that God, and of course us, they have children, those who have children. Have you ever taken them and just put your arms around them? Here's the cords of man. And you put your arms around them. Have you ever, it doesn't matter, boy or girl, you say, I love you. And I used to say, you know what? And they say, what? And I say, I love you. Come here. And they knew, they finally caught on when I said, you know what? But here is God taking them by, you know, taking them and wrapping his arms figuratively around them, telling them how much they are loved. Isn't that a great scene there? How often do we take our children and give them a big hug? And then I tell them that you love them. They need to hear that, don't they? And with this touching them. And so here God is, these are his children, and he calls them his children. And verse 5, he shall not return into the land of Egypt. They were so corrupt, but the Assyrian shall be his king because they refuse to return. Well, we know about 606 B.C. that they went into captivity, these 10 tribes, don't we? They went into Assyrian captivity. And then along about 586, 87, then Israel, the two remaining tribes, they too went into captivity, but it was Babylonian captivity this time. They refuse to return. Verse 5, he shall not return into the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because they refuse to return, and the sword shall abide on his cities. I think of that as a spanking. Now, maybe that's not the intent here, but I think of when our children misbehave or do something that they know they shouldn't be doing, or maybe they didn't do what we had asked them to do. And our oldest son, for I guess 3 weeks, and he's 52 now anyway, it doesn't seem possible. Where was I when he was growing up? But anyway, just before Bible class one Wednesday, we got a phone call, and it was his third grade teacher, and said, did you know that he hasn't turned in his homework? And I said, no. And boy, I just started, you know, like that. Because every day I asked him, did you turn in your homework? Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy. And because he lied, Well, I was really fuming. We went on to Bible class, and coming back, I said, let's go back to the back bedroom. I said, your teacher called, and he started shaking. I said, you lied to Mom and Daddy because you didn't turn in your homework. You know what that means? You're going to spank me. I said, that's right. So I made him bend over, and I whacked him about 3 times, of course, where it stung, but not where the leave marks. And he started crying, and I started crying, and we sat on the bed and talked about that and talked about in the future. And as far as I know, you know, he never lied to me or Iris, so. But I look at this. This is punishment. God still loves Ephraim. God still loves these people, these tribes that went off into captivity. And so, verse 6, the sword shall abide on his cities and shall consume his branches and devour them because of their own counsels. They look to man for solutions. And we cannot look to man for some solution. Now, whether or not where we're going to get the money to build this, or I don't have enough people to help me build this, we could apply it to that. But here in the spiritual sense, it was wrong to look to human counsel when they needed to look to God's word. And so, 7, and my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they call them to the Most High, not at all would exalt him. They just said, we're not going to do it. We like the counsels of the false teachers and false men, leaders. So this is something that we need to be aware of, isn't it? That we can, and we talked about during the Bible class, our apathy. Ephraim and the others, they were consumed with apathy. They didn't want to change. They didn't care. They were satisfied with what they knew or what they were doing. And what were they doing? Offering their children in the fire. And I don't understand that either. Chapter 14, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquities. See, he's begging through Hosea. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord, and say unto them, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. And skipping on down to verse 14, look at this love. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. That's a beautiful scene, isn't it? God forgives, doesn't he? Regardless of how much we have been involved in things that were wrong, regardless of the participation, I guess we could say, regardless of them backsliding, regardless of them saying, I'm not going to do it, I'm not coming back. And even though they were sent into captivity, God didn't really forsake them, did he? And that's so important, I think, today. We can become a rebel as a Christian and turn away from God. I know. But it was Teen and Jerry Westmoreland that brought us out of that old muddy ditch. Oh, it was more than that. It was deeper than a ditch. But I've been there, so I know what, you know, we were in dangerous ground if it had not been for them. Of course, to begin with, they came on a Sunday afternoon, and I was in the living room, a pair of shorts and no shirt, and they knocked on the door, and we invited them in, but I glared at them. They knew they didn't stay very long. They left. But they came back, or both of them, or Jerry or whatever. Saturday was my time, or Sunday was my time, I was thinking. But anyway, backsliding is dangerous, isn't it? And so God shows or tells us through Hosea that I love them, I love you, but I'm going to punish you. And then I'm going to forgive you. And that's exactly what we need to hear today. When we say or do things that are contrary to God's will, if we refuse to be baptized for the remission of our sins, if we refuse to walk in God's way and God walking with God, then God will forgive. But we have to repent, don't we? We ask God to forgive us, show godly sorrow for the things we said or done or didn't do. And of course, one of those commands is to be baptized. Such a little thing that has many rewards. People have been afraid to go into baptistry, the ones over the years that I've baptized, and I say, just hang on, I'll get you and get you back up. I baptized these two Lumbee Indians over in Lumberton. He was about 6'4", and she was about 5'7", or so. Went to baptize them, and the preacher was gone, and his baptistry had green scum on the top. So I looked around, and I said, he said, won't we get sick or die or something? I said, well, far as I know, I've never heard anyone die from being baptized. So I skimmed off that scum and took her down and baptized her, and she said something like, hallelujah. And I took him down. But the thing was, he had a bad leg, and the bottom was slick, and so I had him like this, and when I took him down, that good leg slid out from under him. He grabbed my waders and pulled, and the water started flowing in there and in my mouth, and another preacher student had come, he and his wife and little child. He was 6'8", 300 and something pounds, and he jumped in that baptistry and picked both of us up. But they knew that they had to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and be able to go to heaven. And that's what we're asking today, that if any of you need repentance, to see the love of God, that he will forgive you, things are changed. It's a different life as a faithful Christian, isn't it? And so this is what we're offering, that if you're subject as a non-Christian, desire to be, have your sins washed away and not have to be accountable for those. God will wipe away through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you have been baptized, you have been baptized, God will forgive you.